How many of you remember when you got your shot when you were little? Because you had to go to school, and when the shot came, they hadn't even touched you yet, but you just saw the shots. Did all kinds of things start going through you right now? You know, oh, that shot looks like it's 10 feet long, and it's going to do some damage to me. And you already start squirming. You start tightening up. And every time you tighten up, they go over there, and they want to just rub on you and rub on you. It's like, leave me alone. You don't know. I already know what's coming, and I don't want this to come into me. And this is kind of what I feel in the spirit, is that God is saying, wait a minute. I'm trying to do something good for you, but you're tense. And you're struggling, and you don't want it to come to you. But it's good for you. Are we getting tense? Are we tensing up? And then after they give you the shot in the same place you give the shot, they want to rub real hard on it? Doesn't that, wait a minute, you know that hurt, right? And then you're going to rub on exactly where you hurt me? But doesn't that sometimes feel like God is, I'm going to heal you, but it's going to hurt when I heal you? You're going to go through something, but you're going to know that I'm there with you. Well, can you just take the pain away? Because no, because you got to remember it. Because if I do everything for you easy, you'll think that life is easy. But it's not easy. It gets just a little difficult. Right? Just a little bit? Just a little bit. No? So, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, because it's just difficult. It makes me want to just start talking kind of nonsense now. But the kingdom of God is beautiful. It's when we're here that we suffer so much, right? Yeah, you notice I pointed in the sanctuary. Because the temptation comes to those that come unto the Lord. And when you begin to walk out the things of God, it seems like every devil in hell is coming at you. Does it not? Can we talk a little bit? Just talk a little bit. It just seems like you just ain't going to get out of this circumstance. But here's what I find out, that every time I do that, I put my eyes on the circumstance. And my spirit is no longer engaged with his spirit. We have a tendency to look around and say, it's so bad. Yeah, it's bad. Lord Jesus is bad. Ooh, it's bad. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, it's bad. Ooh. 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 Is bad. You can't even put worse is bad. It just gets so bad. I don't know even what to call it no more. But every time in scripture, Michael, every time it got so bad, every time when it got that bad, the people begin to get a little crazy. Watch. I'm not even in the Bible yet. Every time persecution, trouble, heat, everything came on the people, they had babies. Read your Bible. All of the pressure that comes upon the people of God multiplied. I don't get it. Kids in the room. They didn't have aspirins back then, so you couldn't use that excuse. Matter of fact, you had Bible then. Don't you deny your husband. For your body is his body. And husbands, don't you deny your wife because your body is her body. So they multiplied. And guess where they multiplied? In their wilderness. In the season that was hard. The season where they couldn't figure out where they were coming or going. And all of a sudden they begin to multiply. Why? Because out of your adversity comes him to overcome what you're going through. And it produces inside of you the tenacity and the boldness not to quit. I don't know about you, but when I go through, that chills just thinking about when I go through. It just seems like everything around you just doesn't click, 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 click. It goes clank, 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 clank. Like it's falling apart. Y'all feel me? I got this, God. Nothing's working and nothing is in sync. Then you get up to go and try to pray to the God that can deliver you, and you don't even want to pray. You don't even want to praise, and you don't even want to worship. All you want to do is get me out of here. Yeah. I've been here too long. Yeah. I've been going through and going through. I haven't quit yet, so I'm not going to quit now. But you have to show up. And you have got to show off. And when you come in and you show off, I know you're going to do it for your glory. But you will use men to give glory back too. Amen. We're coming out. As a people of God, but multiplied. Amen. Amen. Thank you. He said, oh, Pastor, but you don't know the factory's closed. We ain't going to multiply like that. We close. Snip, snip, cut, cut, burn, burn. Done deal. But what I'm trying to tell you. get back. Wait, get back. You reproduce. You reproduce in the spirit, sons and daughters, because you weren't there alone. He did it because he said, oh, someone's watching you. Someone's watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. And even as a little boy, you were watching me. You were watching and watching and watching. And times where you couldn't stay up anymore, you would fall asleep right there. But you wouldn't go to your room and fall asleep. You would fall asleep right there on the floor in the middle of everything that was going on. Remember that? Camry Springs, little boy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he would want to be right there in the midst of everything. And he would fall asleep right there on the floor in the middle of the very outpouring of the Spirit of God in the living room. But he didn't want to leave that. Neither did Joshua and Caleb. When the cloud of glory entered into the tent, they entered in with Moses. And what came upon Joshua and Caleb is because they watched and they stayed near to the glory. So what is about to get on you is something that you've been witnessing, watching. But greater falls on you. Greater. The stirring is even more intense. Mm-hmm. That, watch this, this is going to help you. That when he says unto Caleb, he says Joshua and Caleb are of a different spirit. You're going to be different. You're not going to do it like me. You can't do it like me. That's right. You got to do it how he wants you to do it. Of a different spirit. but after him. Amen. You just keep on. But because you stayed and you watched and you looked and then you gazed upon what was going on, something intrigued you. I want to do that. What is it? I don't know. I want to do that. What is it? I don't know. What do you want to do? That. What is it? I don't know. Who? He's in the room. He's in the room. He's in the room. It just seems to me that every time he guides you, he leads you into a place, he takes you somewhere, that those that come around you can't discern the time, the season, or even discern what is going on. But they're looking to wait and see how you come out. I read it in scripture all the time. All the time. How are you going to come out of this thing? How are you going to come out? You tried it your way? You tried it somebody else's way? But when you give it to him, he'll teach you a new way. And you'll come out. So that the ones that were watching you now know, I've got to trust, believe, and not judge, just follow. Well, that's what God is trying to teach his body. That's what he's trying to do. And please hear my heart. It gets rough. It gets tough. But you come out. We come out. And some things that have been stirring inside of me, I ask God, I don't normally go in this direction, God, when I start to study for myself. But now it's like, no, I need you here right now in this. Stay in this. I know you want to go this way because you're comfortable there, but I need you over here. You don't know this path I have for you. You want to go back to the path that you know.
That's right.
No. I want you to go over here and you're going to learn some things. But God, this feels better for me because I know how I can move in that. I need to see some eyes, Elder. Can you turn on the back lights, please? Some eyes. Woman of God in the back row, right there in the very back. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I kept sensing when I was just speaking right now, and I said, he's in the room. He's in the room. I felt the presence just come over my left shoulder this way and stood right over you. Amen. Right over you. You have a prophetic nature about you that you already know. You flow in the prophetic. You flow in intercessory prayer. You've been through a season where people have come against you. Who hasn't? Oh, wow, that's a strong prophetic word. People come against you too. But there's some things that have been locked up. Locked up. It's been locked up for a season, for a while. And you've tried to press through to get to it, and it just doesn't happen. But I see that that the angel that has been sent to you is an angel of unlocking. Unlocking. Some doors have been locked up to keep you out of where you need to go. In the spirit, beloved, in the spirit. Because you've been hitting a wall like a ceiling that you just can't break through. But this breakthrough that is coming is going to be where your voice is going to be heard. Needs to be heard. You have a preach in you that you already know. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But what's inside of you is going to come. It's going to change an atmosphere of where you go and worship. It's going to change that atmosphere. Don't leave. There's where you're supposed to be. There's where you're supposed to be. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm about to unlock you so that it can change the atmosphere of where I've placed you. Where I've placed you. And you're going to be heard. You're going to be utilized. You felt like you've been on a shelf for a while. So I'm just collecting dust, God. You have me just holding up these books that are inside of me like a bookend. Are you ever going to use me? Because it seems like I'm just rotting away. He says, once I'm ready to pull you off that shelf, you're going to ask to go back. Because the ridicule is going to come even harder. Because now, out of obscurity, you're going to begin to speak. And they're going to say, who are you? And where did you come from? And how do you know such a thing? as it is, as you give the explanation of the visions that you have, they look at you like kind of cross-eyed. What are you talking about? But God's saying, it's because what I placed inside of you, you're going to help people come out. And I've sent an angel on your behalf to unlock some things for you. Be encouraged, woman of God. Be encouraged. Don't take no for an answer from anybody. Matter of fact, you have been under a controlling spirit that doesn't want to let you go. God says, I control you. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm your covering, says God. I'm your covering. He's your covering. He is he. He's your covering. And wherever you go, I cover you. I cover you. Well, can you speak? If the Lord says it, and the Lord's going to say, speak, beloved. For it is now for the fire that is in your belly to come out now. Your season of being on the shelf is come to an end. And you will be utilized by God. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. All right. I'm going to get into a quick little teaching. Just quick. I don't know where my stuff is at. Oh, you're fast. Okay. It's 11:20. If you guys have that YouVersion, you can go to that YouVersion app and go to it. That YouVersion app is, it's been very helpful, not only in the home groups, it's the youth use it, and it's very helpful. Everybody can get on page and get on point with it. But you can go with it on your phone, or you can go with it on your iPads, your all the eyes that you have, and it'll help you to follow along, but I promise not to keep you too long. I just want to share some with you, and hopefully I can finish up on what the Lord has given me concerning your house shall be saved. Yes. Your house. Say your house. Shall be saved. Yes. Now say it like it's personal. My house shall be saved. Do you believe it? Yes. Okay. I began to show you last week concerning how God's intention is to get everybody saved. Talk to you about Noah, get everybody in the ark, and everybody in the ark got saved. Talk to you about Moses as he put the blood over the doorpost, and we went back into the fact that Moses was the one that taught the people how to worship God. Where? In the wilderness. It was a pattern for what was to come in the New Testament. Then we talked about Rahab, the harlot, and how Rahab helped out the spies, and because of the promise that was made to the spies, she got saved and everybody in her house got saved. Well, now I want to talk to you from Genesis 19:1-29. Genesis 19:1-29. If you're on the YouVersion app, it'll say, I have sent angels to your house. And then you'll see at the very beginning. If you say, well, I don't know, I can't see it, just put in the zip code at the top, 78249, and it should come up on the YouVersion Live. And it's going to begin there with the actual scripture as a reference here, Genesis 19:1-29. When you're there, say amen. Genesis 19:1-29, out of the King James Version, reads this wise. And there came two angels to Sodom and even at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. He said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread. They did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people of every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out unto the door unto them, and shut the door after them, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which I have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man and even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house with him, and shut the door, and they smote the men with all the door, the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Has thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and their two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you are God that speaks in your word, confirms in your word, and affirms in your word. I thank you that it is life-sustaining word that gives us the direction for our life and gives us the substance for our soul. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that the host of angels that you have set around this house, Lord, and I thank you that we have victory over the wiles of the enemy, the plans of the enemy, and every foul and unclean spirit. I thank you in advance for we worship Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And in this place, we allow his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to have his way. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. All right, you can continue reading on, but what I want to do is make a few points here. As you see that Lot is an individual, and if y'all know who Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Abraham is the uncle. What took place here, let me set the stage for you, is that Lot and Abraham were actually coming out of a famine from Egypt. After the famine, watch this, they're in the wilderness. And their herd and the people began to do what? Multiply. They got bigger. Not only did the people get bigger, so did the cattle get bigger. There was more cattle. There was more sheep. There was more life that was produced in the wilderness. That it got to the point that they were just taking up all the land and destroying all the land because they were just eating, eating, eating. That they said, okay, Lot, you go one way and I go the other. If you go north, I go south. You go west, I go east. Choose where you want to go. And he chooses to go on the other side of the Jordan. So he goes out into Canaan and he has his tent. He places his tent facing Sodom. You got to understand this. Sodom was already a wicked city. Just to kind of make a little quick note for you, anytime you face sin, you may be at a distance, but if you make residence facing the sin, you're going to be just like Lot and wind up right in that city of sin. So don't make your residence facing sin. Always make your residence someplace that God has in store for you. Now, Lot was a nephew of Abraham, and Abraham said, just go wherever you choose, just go. And I'll go the opposite direction so that there wouldn't be no more fighting going on with the herdsmen. And that's what was going on. So then we read that after so many years of being out in the wilderness with a tent facing the sin city of Sodom and Gomorrah, now we read in here that where was Lot? He was at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he no longer was in his tent. Now he got himself a permanent residence. Bought himself a nice 3-bedroom home. Oh, it was really nice. It was so nice that it had a door on it. It was no longer a tent. That he could lock it. He could even have his two daughters in there. See, what happens is sometimes we have a tendency to get so comfortable in sin that we'll make residence there. And we'll make it so fortified that we think because we're in sin that we can be safe in our sin. Because we're behind the door, nobody can see. Y'all don't read it like that? Oh, yeah. He has a tendency of showing you. You could get real comfortable with what you're doing and that you even make residence in the place you shouldn't be in. Now, God has said, I'm going to destroy this place. But before those two angels came, three angels came to Abraham. Where was Abraham? He was still in the tent, out in the fertile land. So he sees these three angels come, and then Abraham runs out there and says, well, stay. Let me just make, hey, baby, go make something for them to eat right now. Hurry up. Go make some bread and stuff. Hurry up. Don't be talking back to me right now. Just go make bread. We have visitors. Read about it. Come on now. If you know if some visitors just happen to show up at your house unannounced, you didn't clean up. You got dishes in the sink. You know, we're going out to eat today. Because we're not always prepared for visitors just to drop in. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all got that one closet that everything goes in there when visitors show up. Everything just goes right in the closet. Or if you do like some people I know, they get that blanket, they cover everything up, and they push it to the side. So nobody, just don't look under that blanket. But when you leave, I got to clean all this up because it's really a mess. We're not always prepared. Neither was Abraham. He was not prepared. That it says there was three angels that came into Abraham right before his tent. And they came to announce what God was going to do for Abraham. And then what he was going to do concerning the city. The two angels leave and they go into Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you find in this very story that they come into the city. And they wanted to stay in the streets. But what did Lot do? Lot inquired. No. Come into my house. Come into my house. Don't lose sight of this. You can be in that very place of sin in your life. But God will still send you an angel of light that will come in for salvation for you and to save your very household and give you that very opportunity. Go get those sons-in-laws. You notice how the son-in-laws were not in the house, but the wives were? Yeah. Huh? Did you notice that? Huh? You know how sons-in-laws, they're supposed to be in the house with their wife, but they weren't. They were out in the streets kicking it, and they should have been at home with their spouses. Just don't try to help you. Don't you get married and say, well, it's boys' night out. No, it ain't. Now, no more. When you said I do, you said I don't. Don't let the enemy come. Oh, but you still yourself. When we did the union candles, you know what? You had the candle, your candle here, and I had my candle here. We lighted it together, but the two candles on the side were still lit because we're still individuals. No, you're not. The Bible says you become one. Right. Become one. So wherever your wife is going to go, you're going to go too. That's how you preserve a house. Well, she needs her time with her girls. Yeah. Every time I look and I see some girls starting to chat, they're usually chatting about you. They're usually chatting about everybody else. They're usually just chit-chatting and chitty-chatting and chitty-chatting. It ain't going to help mama either. And when they say, you know what, you stay at home, we're going to go out, be with the boys, go have a little bit after, work. And you're not, because you're about to die. Read the story. If someone would have had sense and said, hey, mira, here comes father-in-law. Here comes your father-in-law. Here he goes again. Chihuahua. What do you want? Kiki. That means what? Who's going to do what to the city? Man, I've been kicking it out of here. We having a good time. I think you're way beyond us already because you make no sense. Nah, I ain't going. Just give, Pookie and them a kiss for me because I ain't coming home tonight. Huh? Yeah, I know. No, it's just me and the boys being boys. Think about it. What was that city like? It should tell you what was said right there. This is what it says. Your kids are in the room, but I'm just going to help you learn something. The angels came in, and what happened? Young and old men went to Lot's house. They saw the same two angels. Hey, send me those boys. We want to know them. Y'all know what that means? They want to get intimate with them. There was perversion that was there in the city, and those husbands were in their perversion. But even so, the angel said, go get who's attached to these children here, is attached to you. And if they obey you, here's the key. If they obey you to come, they'll be saved. Dude, they like this one. They like it. Just disobey mama one time. You would never think that those little puffy pink slippers would hurt so bad. But disobey one time. You would never imagine what could take place. She could have been the one saving your very soul if you would just obey. But it happened to be that it was the uncle, Abraham, that prayed for Lot not to be destroyed. Kind of like how you are for people that are connected to you. You're praying for them not to be destroyed. All you got to do is say, God, if you find one that is righteous, you won't. You won't, God. You'll spare them. So he sends the two angels into Lot's house to spare them. And the ones that listened were the ones that got saved. And watch this. When you read on in that story right there, Lot comes back from talking to the sons-in-law. They don't want to come. The angels say, get your wife and your daughters and let's go. Read the story. They lallygagged around in the house. Well, honey, do we take this? What do we take with us? Do I take this? And I believe that Lot was saying, baby, we don't got all that time for you to go and pack your makeup bag to get your hair dry. Don't even get the straight iron because, you know, it's hot out there. Just don't get that flat iron. Don't do it. That the angels had to grab their hands and say, come on. Took them right outside the house, outside the city, outside the gates. And then watch this. This is what they said to Lot. Go to the mountains. Right? Go to the mountains. Lot's response was, no, there's evil and it may overtake me. Let me just tell you, it's evil over there. Let me go to that little city over there. Little, called Zor. Little city. Little. I'll go there. Because I don't want to go to the mountains because there's evil there. So they said, okay, go. And we can't do anything until you get there. And when you get there, don't look back. You know the story. The wife was just a little, but you know. She forgot the flat iron. And then she turned around. Did I leave the stone up? That's it. Pillar of salt. Pillar of salt. Done, right? When you look in the Bible and you start reading, some of your Bibles will have pictures on it, and it shows Lot's wife looking back and turning to a pillar of salt. Lot and his children didn't even look at her. They just kept on going. That's pretty messed up. Baby, I love you, but I ain't looking at you now. I see. And the girl said, hey, forget. Don't. Mama's gone. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We're gone. They didn't even cry for their husbands. Read it. So they're not going to cry for their husband. That tells you they were already fed up with them. They prayed that same prayer. Get them, God. Come on. You know you had some prayers like, just get them, God. The next time they open that beer, let them get sick. Y'all know y'all have those kind of prayers. Don't look at me that way. That when they go into the refrigerator and he pulls out that can or that bottle, they're going to... Because she's been praying over it. There's oil all over every single one. Y'all pray it that way. Y'all get that oil and it's over every six pack that's in there. It's Sunday. Amen. I went to church with you, honey. I'm going to barbecue. I had a wonderful time with you in church. I'm just going to turn on the barbecue pit, baby. Put the radio on. Put the radio on. I'm going to worship. Yeah. You know, when you cook, it tastes better when you have music playing. Okay. Okay. Y'all have done so many crazy things to have the power of God come upon somebody that don't want to listen.
That's right.
We all do it. Yeah. We all do it. Try to go to bed and not smell that oil all over your sheets, all over your bed. Go put on some underwears and it's all over in your underwears. Go put on your suit that you always wear, the same suit when you would go out because you wanted to look fly, but you only had one suit. It'd be all over that shoe. It was so shiny, they would put the oil all over it. Yeah, you know, the same shoes that you always wear because you had to polish them, the shoe polish. They don't know back in there. You put that shoe polish. Just cover it nice. And if it was brown, they can change them black by dyeing it, right? But it just seems like every time you put oil on something, watch this, it don't come out. It gets in the fabric, in that very fabric, and it doesn't come out. I don't care what kind of ancient Chinese secret, Mexican secret, African secret. I don't care what kind of secret. It ain't coming out. Watch this. Watch. Each one of you have oil that is on you right now. That everywhere you go, you deposit that oil. And it don't come out. Mm-hmm. That's why you can step into a place because the oil is on you and you deposit oil in their life. Amen. Haven't you walked into a place where it's been dark and there's been some demon activity? Watch this. Don't be afraid of the demons. Holla, I'm here now. You ain't gonna get me all freaked out about a demon because you don't know greater is he that is in me. Wherever evil is present, so is he, God.
Amen.
You can't, watch this. The devil wants to come in and tell you, I ain't forgot about that. I'm going to get back to that story. Now watch this. The devil wants to make you scared so that you, guess what? Quit and give in. But what happens is when you draw strength upon the one that has given you his strength. You can stand in the face of your enemy, even if the enemy is about to take you out. Even when they came to get Lot at the door, the angels blinded them. Mira, they're right at the door and they can't find the door. The Bible says they're right there at the door. They're pressing on them at the door. The angels blind them and then they can't find the door. They can't find the door. God will step in at that very moment, blind your enemy, and make you get saved in the house. In the house. That the enemy was trying to get you out of the house. Hear this. Trying to take you out of the house. But get in the house where the presence of the Lord is, and he will save your very soul. Even when evil is at your door. Are y'all missing what really that is stating? Evil is very present, crouching at the front door, outside your door. But when you come in the house, I'm trying to help somebody. Really, I am. And you forget about all the oil that was poured all over the place. That when the very one that you've been praying for, that don't want to submit, oil is hard to get off. If you got to go buy him another 12 pack because he don't want this because it smells, I'll go get it for you. Get more. Pour more oil on it. I know for a fact it works. For a fact. Go and pick up that thing. Pop, pop. Pop, pop. What is? Oh, baby, they're praying over this stuff. God. I don't want that. What are you doing praying like that? I love you. I can do nothing without you. But you given enough time, what you prayed and what you did would change the individual's life. I'm living testimony of it. Living testimony of it. You get in the house. that's really a foreshadow of saying, come into the house of God. Amen. When you come into the house of God, where what? His presence is. Anywhere that the angel is present, it's they work as ambassadors for Christ, just like you now. Amen. Remember, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. So he had to send angels. Where did he send them? In the house. In the house. But if you come into the house where the presence of the Lord is, you too shall be saved. Well, that's not a salvation message right there. That's not. It's just about Lot turning his wife into Sodom. Lot didn't do nothing. Matter of fact, you'll have scholars that write about it. And even, watch this. They said he was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. Guess who writes about him? That he didn't even sin. That he wasn't even in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Muslims write about Lot. As a symbol of Christ, a prophet. They just kind of negate some things about how he was in sin and he lived in sin. Do you know that when they came out and got delivered, he runs now to the mountains where originally the angel said for him to go. Now watch this, watch. He didn't want to go there because evil was there. So he goes to the little city. He looks back and he sees all the smoke from that city. That it went up. Where does he go? He goes to the mountain. Watch this. In that mountain, his two daughters. Two daughters. Get him drunk. Got him drunk. Had babies. Watch this. Had babies. Just to kind of give you an indication that God has a plan in store, even when you take matters into your hands. And even when you think that this is not going to be the way God is going to use me, let me just remind you that the eldest that slept with Lot had the first boy named Moab, which is a Moabite. Go down the lineage a little bit further, and you find that that is David's grandmother, King David. Okay, now, are you following? Out of that Moabite came Jesus. Oh, God has a plan. Even when the enemy means evil to come against you, God has a plan to sustain you and a plan to manifest his promise. He manifested Jesus even in the midst of the incestual relationship. Incidentally, just to kind of give you a little bit of background to it, maybe this will help you. See, Pastor, you're just making things up because, you know, you haven't gone to the scripture about this thing. You just make things up all the time. The older daughter conceived Moab. Guess what it means in Hebrew? From the father. Oh, wow. The younger had Benjamin, son of my people. Are you seeing father, son in the wilderness experience that was birthed in the mountain? Every time you read in scripture, there was a mountain of God. And the people that would come up to God would be blessed with instructions and blessed as a people to be delivered. So God has a plan. God has a plan. Say that God has a plan. He's sending me angels to my house to deliver me and everybody in my lineage. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, somebody should have shot right there. That's a declaration. That's a declaration. If you're still on the YouVersion, you can read all of that. I gave you all the scripture there. The question that's right underneath that, it says, have you entertained a stranger? Now, have you ever been somewhere where you needed some help and all of a sudden someone just happens to show up? Yes. And you turn around just to say thanks and they're gone? It's an angel of the Lord that came in the form of a man. The same ones that came into the city, they saw them as men. Different forms. They will come in the form of a man to assist you. Right? The scripture reference to that is in Hebrews. If you find right underneath that, it's Hebrews 13:2. And the NIV says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing them. Phew. You didn't get goosebumps when you talked to them? You didn't fall under the power of God when you talked to them? No. You didn't even know they were angels. But as soon as they left, you turned around, you looked, and they weren't there. You got your goosebumps. You freaked out, and you got the power of God hit you. Like, oh, my God, that was an angel. But you didn't know when you were talking to that individual, because they can come in the form of a man. Why? Because God has sent them into your house. Guess what house means? House literally means family of God. The family of God. Are you the family of God?
Yes.
Are you the family of God? Then he's sending the angel to come in and bring salvation to your household. That they're going to come in, not just save the very soul, but save them from what? Destruction. They may be in the worst part of their life, but God's going to come in and save them from that destruction that they put themselves in. Oh, yeah, yeah. We have a tendency to do things the hard way, the wrong way, the stupid way. And then we have a tendency to go back and do it stupid again. Yeah. Stupid is, and stupid does. Yes. Yes. Pastor, you call me stupid? No. We said that when we do things that are stupid, guess what comes out of it? Stupid things. Oh, that's very deep. I want deep revelation, Pastor. Do stupid things, you get stupid things happen. But you don't know that God has a plan. Now watch this. I promise I'm going to get you out of here. Promise. On that YouVersion, you'll see that it says, what do angels come to do? And it says right here, what are angels used for? Healing, blessing, miracles, salvation, instructions. I don't want to vote. Mira, who put that there? The devil's a liar. He is going to send you help in time of need. In time of need, he's going to send you help. Maybe you don't need healing. Maybe you don't need healing. Maybe you just need someone to come in and help you. And he sends help your way. Will you accept it? He could have not accepted them. Lot could have just said, oh, you're going to stay in the streets. Well, then I don't have to feed you. Go in the streets. I didn't make bread today. Stay in the streets. I'll see you in the morning. You understand? It doesn't come when you want it, and it doesn't come when you're prepared. Usually, they come when you're not prepared. In other words, it shows up just like that. Just like that. On the nick of time. Nick of time. Shows up to help you, your family, and everyone that's connected to your family.
Amen.
Just because of you. That scripture, I just read it to you. You read it. It's there. You can read it and find out that he does that more than once. Go to Luke 19, please. Luke 19, if you're on that YouVersion, it's right underneath there. Luke 19, 1 through 10 are the Amplified. Just to set the story straight for you here. It's on for the tithe and offering creed. Y'all know who Zacchaeus is? Hey, little man. That's where they get that phrase. Hey, what's up, little man? That's where I came from. Zacchaeus. What's up, little man? With attitudes. What's up, little man? Little man. Stature short. Now, how many of you know that if you're short, you can't see above everybody else is taller than you? Is that... Where are you going with this, Pastor? Okay, well, I'm just trying to tell you. It made something very obvious, right? If you're short, sometimes you can't see. And God had a plan to meet Zacchaeus where he was at, but it made him have to climb up a sycamore tree. You can read the story. It's all right there. But watch this. Do you read on there what his profession was? He was a tax collector? Oh, no, but I can't go on the tree because I have my suit on. He was in a place of notoriety. He was in a place that people came and gave him money. Tax collector. Some of it goes in my pocket, some of it goes to the treasury. Some of it goes in my pocket, some of it goes to the treasury. He states it himself. He was a thief. He was stealing himself. But wait, Jesus comes and sees him up in the tree. Sees him in a tree. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Come down. I need to go to your house. You can come to my house? Why are you going to come to my house? And that's when he starts confessing. Do you read it? Yeah, he starts confessing. I'm a man that's not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm a tax collector. And I have not been honest. You know, when Jesus steps in the place, he starts confessing everything. Yeah. I'm sorry, I messed up. You know, last night I wasn't supposed to drink, but I drank. And I wasn't supposed to. I promised I wasn't going to do that. Lord, I'm so sorry. And then he says, I need to go to your house. You can't tell me right here? You can't. Why you want to go to my house? Why you want to go to my house? My wife don't know you're coming. Why you think I'm in the tree? Why you think I'm in the tree? I'm in trouble as it is. Why you want to go to my house? And you want to eat? Oh, Jesus. Whew, how am I going to get this one to honey? Wifey! Jesus is coming. You got to make something to eat. I was hiding in the tree like you told me to go play in the tree. And I was there. I heard Jesus coming. And I just wanted to see because I couldn't see. So I got up in the tree and he found me. Just think about it. Think of the story. This is a little man that was in a place that everybody knew who he was. They had to pay taxes to him. They all knew him. Sometimes God is going to make you get out of your dignity and get up somewhere. To get up somewhere where you can be seen, and it may not even seem like you're going to be seen in a tree, but he was climbing humanity to get up into the tree to be under the wings of the Most High, so that when Jesus came by, he called unto him, come down. Oh, I can go a whole different direction. Say, every time you want to put yourself up, he'll bring you down. Every time you want to go ahead and place yourself above everybody else, he'll bring you down. He'll humble you. But he doesn't judge you out in the open. Oh, watch this. He'll take you in private into your very home and begin to speak to you concerning the salvation that comes to your house. Watch. He didn't just save Zacchaeus. He saved his whole household. And Jesus said unto him, this day your house shall be saved. Amen. This day. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say the next day. He didn't say eventually it's going to come to pass. No, he said this day. Why? Because every time you accept Jesus into your life, he's already in your house. He's in your family. And when he's in the family, he's in your lineage. Because he's in your lineage, so is your lineage saved. Don't let that devil lie to you. Well, they're over here acting a fool. They're over there partying. They're getting all their groove on Saturday night. And while you at church Sunday, they sleeping. You should just be next to them sleeping too. No, baby, you got to go get the word of God. Take the word of God. Take the presence of God back home. And if your husband or your wifey is happening to be laying there, or watch this, maybe it's mama or daddy that don't want to get to church no more because they're so caught up watching everything on TV or listening on the radio or MP3s and iPods and iTunes. But I'm going to just tell you this. The mere fact that you went after the word of God, God is going to honor you. Amen. When you come back, guess what's on you? Fresh oil. Fresh oil. You know why the trick of the enemy is to keep you out of church? You don't get fresh oil. You're still working off the old stuff. Come and get the new stuff. And when you get the new stuff, you can get back home and deposit something new. And when you deposit new revelation, things begin to manifest in your home, your lineage, and the people that didn't want to listen to you, that kept going after the things that they wanted to go after. God says, no, I came into your house. I came into your family. And when I came into your family, I'm saving the family. He didn't say they had to be religious. He just said, I'm coming into your house. your house. Do you know that when Jesus is walking, everybody's following him? Everybody's following him. Everybody. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm going with Jesus. Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Jesus. Hey, 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 Jesus. Hey, Jesus. And then he don't even turn around and look at you. He looks at somebody in a tree. I've been calling you. He wasn't calling you. Why you got to look at him? Why you got to look at him? I followed you all my days of my life. I've been with you. I studied the word and I prayed and I fasted. I was over here going to church, paying my tithes, doing anything I was supposed to do. You ain't calling me, but you call the man over there. He's too little anyways. He had to get up in the tree, but you called him. And then you go to his house. I've been inviting you to come to my house and you won't come to my house. Amen. I've been keeping it clean this whole time just in case you come to my house. Cleaning, you got your earphones on. You just, woo, Jesus, hallelujah. You're coming to my house. And you get all in your gown, and then Jesus never show up, right? Then you know you get mad. You get mad. I've been prepping this house for you to show up. And you look to that man in the tree. You know he's a thief, right? Huh? So is Judas? No, hombre, like you're a prophet. Judas is stealing. He's stealing. And I've been praying. My wife is mad at me. I'm always in church. I get mad when she leaves dishes in the sink. And you don't come to my house. I get tithes. When you come to my house.
Amen.
Come to my house. We throw our fits.
Amen.
You're like, where are you going with this, Pastor? Where are you going with this? He's going to go to the one that needs him.
Amen.
He shouldn't have to come to you because you're already doing what you already know to do. You already know him because you know him. You don't need him to show up in your house no more. He needs to go to the people that don't know him. I like it. I like it. But because I'm faithful. He should come.
Amen. I'm righteous.
I'm on the praise team. He should come to my house. I'm on the praise team. I do audio visual. You can come to my house. I'm armor bearer. My house. And then he don't show up. What you going to do then? Uh-huh. Oh, no, I'm talking about y'all. I'm talking about you. You're doing righteousness. You're doing everything right. You're doing everything you know to do. And sometimes you feel like he don't show up.
Yeah.
You feel like he's not even coming anywhere near your abode. How come you're not here, God? I'm already all inside of you. I'm all inside of you. What are you calling on to me for? I already gave you the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Why are you crying out to me? What are you having me to do? Why don't you do what you're supposed to do? Ah, watch it. Lord says, just start just talking the word. Start doing what you're supposed to do, proclaiming the word. I'll send the angel to do it for you. You need to call me. But you're so caught up in look at me, you don't want to come into my house. You get all your pity party going on. Your abandonment and rejection. I'm leaving this place. They don't love me. You don't even love yourself. Preach on, Pastor. They don't want to hear this. I came into the church and someone sat on my seat. Though you know I sit over here in the front row. I'm a leader. Y'all been there. And Android, talk to me, girl, talk to me. Watch this, Android. Let's go way back, let's go way back. I wear white. And the first two rows are reserved for everybody wearing white. You know better to be sitting there because I'm to be one wearing white. You see me wearing white? That's my chair. What do you know sitting in my chair? I'm holy. Yeah, really holy. You got holes all in you. But we got to do this thing back in church nowadays. So we got to have everybody dignified with signs reserved for leadership. Shut your mouth. We all leaders. We need praying mamas in the house. Now we need praying people in the house is what we need. What you don't understand, I got my calling. I'm in a discipleship class. And because I'm being discipled, I'm next to the bishop. Because I'm next to the bishop, I'm next. You don't understand, I'm next. I know I'm about to be preaching. We use all kinds of things. Now it's crazy. Crazy. When I got a purple collar on, that means I'm a bishop. You still wearing white. You're still new. Let me disciple you for about a year. And then after you're with me for about a year, then I'm going to just challenge you to see how well you really are under my tutelage. Baby, you are not teaching me. God, the Bible tells me clearly that the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Man don't teach you nothing, but the Spirit of God teaches you everything. And as long as you remain humble, here's what the Bible says. Those that humble themselves and pray. I'm going to stand right here in the middle. I think what I'm going to do, Popo, is I'm going to make the pulpit right here in the middle. Everybody always looking at the front anyway. Make everybody turn around, look around. Jesus says he's the epicenter of this world. Amen. The word of God needs to be the epicenter in your life. Amen. So he can talk to you whether you're up in the tree or whether you're a base. Whether you're in the lowest part of your life, he can come in and save your very house and save your very soul. Not only is he going to come in and save, but he's going to lift you up. Lift you up. You need that lifting. You need that lifting. Be encouraged, baby. Be encouraged. It's come to an end. Come to an end. An end. You've been going through, going through, going through, going through, going through, going through. And people just lie to you. Lie to you. Hurt you with the words that they speak to you. Always, always, always. And then they hurt you with words. It's because you got a good heart. Good heart. And every word that has come out of these people's mouths and spoken against you, I rebuke it off of your very life and out of your very soul. Yes, 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 yes. You are precious in his sight. You are lovely. You are good. Amen. You're good. And you mean well. You always give when you don't have to give. You still give. No more people taking advantage of you, beloved. No more. I speak the peace of God all of your life. You need it. Your body has lost weight dramatically. You've had stress in your life. Hold on to those tissues. Don't give it to her yet. And I know right now, even in your stomach, you've had your stomach turning. It's like, this feeling, please take it away. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of feeling this way. It feels like I'm sick all the time. I don't even want to eat anymore. But it just, God, I know you can help me with this. I know you can help me. And there's not any sickness in your body. It's stress. It has come from the outside influences of your life. And I cut those jokers off. I cut them off. And I speak peace into your life, peace into your home, peace into that very body. Beloved, don't get mad at me, but you're about to gain weight in a good way. In a good way. In a good way. I don't know you. I don't. I'm just a crazy Mexican trying to preach the gospel. But I do know right now that I felt it in my stomach. Is that confirmation? Okay. But I know that God is getting in there right there and he's going to make you whole again. Whole. He's going to make some changes for you. Be blessed. Be encouraged, beloved. Be encouraged. Amen. Amen. God is good. Oh, he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Oh, he's good. Ooh, I feel old school. I have to start pulling on my ear a little bit and start preaching. Oh, I don't feel it. Ooh. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get you out of the school system. He's going to get you out of that. He is. And he's going to take you into a new dimension, a new field. And you're going to enjoy it. It's going to challenge you. It is. But not only is it going to challenge you, you're going to love the challenge because you're going to be there, that light that is necessary to be there. The phone call is going to come, and it's going to be yours. And when they offer it to you, pick your jaw up off the floor. You have to respond. Don't just sit there. Just respond. Yes. It's coming to you. Continue to be faithful, man. Continue. Every time you're riding around in the car, you keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. He says, I've heard you. I've sat with you. In times that you turn off the radio because he's like, God, I just don't even know what to even think no more. Where am I going to go? What is going to happen? He says, I was there with you at that very moment when you said, God, I just give it to you. You're going to accept this thing. Don't go looking in the school systems. You were there for a season. Now I'm going to take you someplace else. You're going to enjoy it. You're really going to enjoy it. And your bank account is going to be fat.
Amen.
Fat. 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 Be ready, man. Then he's going to ask of you, you trust me? And that's when he's going to say, okay, now it's time to get to work. Blessings to you, man. Blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? I want you to look to your neighbor and say, God is good. He's coming to my house. He's coming to your house. He's coming to a theater near you. Y'all were like, what? He's coming. He's coming. And he's coming strong. Strong. The Bible prophesies concerning that in that day, I will pour out my spirit. Guess what? That day has already come and gone. Mm-hmm. Joel was prophesying about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It already took place. That day has already come. And because that day has already come, you are in that day. You're in that day. Don't let the enemy take you out, take you off course. You're in that very day. That very day. Ooh. Brother, you're going to be challenged this week. Hard. 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 You're going to be challenged, man. Hear my heart. You're going to be challenged. Hear the Spirit of God first. Hear the Spirit of God. What I've called you to do is what you're to do. What you're to do. Seek him more like never before, John. Like never before. You have a good heart, man. Not because you're my brother. Not because I've seen what you've done to all of your nieces and nephews. And how you used to watch over them. You used to babysit them. You even put your life on hold for a lot of them. You'll drop what you're doing to go save the one. Hear this, man. That you'll drop what you're doing to reach out to him. Then nobody would reach to you, but he would listen to you. Every time you have laid things down, man, God has watched it. Now he's about to bring your harvest to you. But now is the time for you to pray like never before, man. Spend some time with him. Don't get religious, man. Don't do that. I'll be the first to tell you, don't get religious. Spend time with him. Watch what he's going to reveal to you. But a challenge is coming. I saw it. I saw it. Be blessed, John, because God's got you. He's got you, man. He's got you. Look, by what I sense in my spirit right now, I know it's been difficult. I know it is. Most of the times before the service ever starts, I hear prophetically concerning what's going on. It's like the first service, like I told you before. That's the prelude of what's to come. He's kind of showing us, okay, I'm going to speak in this wise. I'm going to speak in this attitude. I'm going to speak here. God's about to do something. He's turning. He's turning. He's turning. Turning some things. But don't lose sight that he wants to come into your abode, into your place. He wants to come into you. He wants to make residence right where you're at. Right where you're at. He wants to even get even more intimate with you, baby. More. Not this kind of knowledge. And you're very bright and intelligent. Very. Very analytical, too. You overthink some things. And you can get in the way of things because it's too easy for you to accept. So you overthink it and it gets you confused. But then you figure it out. But God is trying to get into that place, that abode with you, with such a deep intimacy. Deep intimacy. Because you need it. You see, well, that whole thing about transition, I don't understand. It's been a while. It's been a while, and I can't even seem to put my feet down and make it like a resident. Because I'm always in transition. I'm always on the go, and I need to know what to do next. The question mark that is all around you is big. Because you're questioning a lot of things you need answers to. When you seek revelation, revelation comes. God, give me revelation. Give me revelation of what I'm supposed to do. It's concerning even whether or not you're supposed to stay or go. Am I supposed to stay here or am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do, God? Whether you're given a 2 weeks notice or do you just leave? I hear the Spirit of God says, I'm about to take you someplace that you need to go. But I need to be intimate with you. And you need to be intimate with me so that I can help you. And He'll do it. He'll do it. Get there with Him. Get there with Him. He's going to send you some help. He's going to send you help. And the moment that you open up that Bible, He's going to speak. You have visions. You have visions. You see things. He's going to give you interpretation. Don't go ask anybody else. I'll be the first to tell you, don't go ask anybody else. Wait. He'll give it to you. Your eyes are being opened, says the Spirit of God. Being opened. Anxiety is all around you, too. You got anxiety. And God is going to bring some clarity in that area to settle you. Settle you. You're going to be able to sleep longer than you used to sleep. You're going to get more rest that is necessary right now for your body. I see you recently going into like a Walmart and putting your arm in there, checking your blood pressure because you're worried about some things. It says, be at peace, beloved. I'm bringing healing to your body, to your mind, and I'm going to put you at rest because you have a lot of questions. You have a lot of questions. Ask for revelation. Here's the prayer to pray. God, help me and give me revelation. What I'm supposed to do, and help me so I can make your decision in my life. Amen. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Hallelujah. Brody, be encouraged, man. Be encouraged. I see the hand of God on your life. On your life. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to give you peace. Peace. You need it. You're going to have more texts and more phone calls. Things are changing. They're changing. Give it its time. Get your shofar, man of God. Blow it. Blow it. Because it's not going to stop. You're going to continue to grow in God and be encouraged in God. I have angels that are in charge over your life that walk with you. And be with you, and they're about to manifest in your very eyes. See, you shut it down. You did. Don't shut him down. Not God. He hasn't done nothing to you. He He just wants to encourage you, man. You're going to make it through. You're going to make it. Without anybody else knowing the business, man. They're going to turn around. They're going to turn around. The Bible tells me that he hears the cries of his children. And it's going to happen. When you walk in to your room, he'll be standing there. And he's going to give you peace, man. Peace. And you're going to see the hand of God move on your behalf. You're going to run. You're going to jump. You're going to have fun. You're going to be a young kid like he wants you to be. You're going to be able to have a lot more fun in your life. And you're going to see some things. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that even your popo is not going to be the way he used to be. He's going to be there with you. He's going to do more with you. Now, you would think that Miss Lisa is the one that's going to outrun him, but Popo is going to outrun her. You notice I'm looking at you, not at her, right? Because you, man of God, are changing the atmosphere. You are. Because God chose you. Not because of your lineage and your prayer. Your house shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't start that yet. Just a couple quick announcements, promise, and then we are on our way. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow I have to go get my shots for Africa. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. Papa Louis leaves on Tuesday. Him and Miss Rita are actually already going to Africa. And they're going to set everything up, get us ready. And so that when we fly in on the 20th, so we leave the 21st, but we fly in on the 22nd there. They will pick us up from the airport. And then they'll take us into Kitale. And talking to him yesterday, they're very excited about what's about to take place. That churches are bringing more. They're bringing more. They're gathering more people. There's already a stirring taking place that the leaders that he oversees, the churches he oversees over there, more of them are gathering. More gathering. The level of activity, me personally, in my life, that has been taking place since I said yes to go, has increased at a higher level. Now, prophecy is easy. It is. Every single one of you here can prophesy. The Bible tells you. So that's not hard for me to prophesy to people. Because I got to hear him. I speak what I hear. And then that's it. Move on. Okay? But what has been taking place is a whole different level in the spirit that I begin to see things not where they're at and not where they've been, but where they're going. I said, God, I need more of that. I want more of that. And there's been some activity in the supernatural that I have been witnessing. And I've been saying, okay, God, I just want to make sure this is you, this is you, this is you, this is you. I don't want nothing else but you. Even the elect get deceived. The elect, that means even those that are smart and brainiacs and scholars, they get deceived. And this is what the Lord said. If I'm there, I'm taking care of you. You're my son. And I won't let you be deceived. Focus on me. And when I manifest your help, you'll know it's me. And that's what's been happening in my spirit. That's been happening in my prayer time. That's been happening in the public, in the sauna, at the gym. And it's just been crazy awesome. But I know that what the Bible says is the head goes, so does the body. Are you ready for some more angelic activity in your life? Then all you've got to do is say, yes, Lord, send me my angels that you use to confirm your word, to affirm your word, that when I speak your word, they accomplish it on my behalf because it's your word. Now give me revelation and illumination and open my eyes of my understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, because you prayed it and you prayed it from your heart and you really want this, you're going to see some angelic activity. I know it because I prayed that very same prayer. I said, Lord, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Show me in the word. And everywhere I went in the word, there was Jesus. There was the angel. Everywhere I went in the word, there's Jesus. There's an angel. Jesus, angel. Jesus, angel. What does that mean, God? He says, everywhere Jesus is, the angelic host is at. Whatever you're in need of, the angels are there for you. I said, God, I don't want to worship. He goes, they don't worship angels. You worship me and they're there. You worship me and they're there. Speak the word and they're going to work it for you. So I said, God, then send the angels necessary for this house and for the lives of the people connected to this house. So be ready to experience it. Amen. Hallelujah. Elder, if you can pass them out, please. As he's passing out the envelopes, he's passing out for tithes and offering. Your tithe. Here's what the Bible says. Your tithe is a tenth of your earnings that go to where? The storehouse. What is a storehouse? The storehouse is the house where you get fed. Fed. And guess what he says? When you bring your tithes, the word says, when you bring all your tithe into the storehouse, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Then, this is what the word says, Jesus speaking here. Then see, test me in this, test me, prove me. And see if I will not open. Some of your manuscripts say windows. Truth says doors. See if I will not open up the doors and pour out blessing that there's not enough room for you to contain it. That's what the Bible says. Then Jesus says this when they ask him, you robbed me. But Lord, how do we rob you? What does Jesus say? You robbed me with your tithes and your offering. Watch this, y'all ain't gonna like it. You're gonna like it. If you tithe, you're gonna love it. Then you're cursed with a curse. I don't know about you. I don't want to be cursed. Mm-mm. We have given the total offering that has come into this house. We have given it away. We know what it is to sow. You continue to be obedient to his scriptures. God will be obedient to manifest it in your life. Anything above your 10% is your offering. No, Pastor, you're always talking about money. Well, faith don't pay your bills. Faith don't get you fed. Faith don't clothe you. Faith don't put gas in your car. Your obedience to the word manifests for you, for your life. Just trust his word. Amen.